Good morning and welcome to Bethel on this Wednesday morning, the 10th of June. I think my wife was saying the other day, this is the 13th week, is it, that we have been without formal church services in the church building, but I pray you have been following along and joining in with us in our informal internet, CD and Facebook church services as we go. It's been interesting times. We're looking forward, I pray, in the very near future to the rules being relaxed enough where we can turn up for church. So please do pray about that. It is very important. People do miss it. Even lost souls that have spent, that have been brought up in the church, they miss that as well. We need to be reminded constantly of what the Lord has done for us. So anyway, we're going to begin with a word of prayer. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this day, for life and health and strength, for another day, Lord, for having the strength to be able to turn the kettle on and make a cup of tea, to open our eyes, to string two thoughts together, to consider, Lord, our futures with you. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for your Son. I thank you for, Lord, the free gift of everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and a good sense to repent of our sins and trust you as Savior. Please continue saving souls, Lord. And I just, Lord, pray for various folks in our church ministry. And I pray you, Lord, please, for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang. And if I get this name wrong or pronounce it wrongly, please forgive me. A man that they have been helping, who I think recently got saved over in England, and they got a Bible sent to him. Father, I pray for Mr. Bao Chung Wang, Lord. Please put your good hand upon that man. If I have pronounced his name wrong, forgive me, but I know you know who he is, Lord. Please watch over him and keep him and help him to grow. And help Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, bless them as they minister to him. Pray you too, Lord, for Brother Will and for his labours as well, for the work that he's still doing, for the students, Lord, and their ongoing educations. Please bless him as he does that and set a wall around about him, Lord, and protect him. And not him only, Lord, but his dad, John, and Christine, and his granny, Mary Ann, Lord. For his brother and sister, David and Naomi, and their families, Lord, for Paul and for William, for Rachel and little Lillian, Lord, and Reggie too. Please bless this family. Please, Lord, I pray you for your good hand upon Leonard and his family. For Esther, Lord, I pray, I know she has upon her heart for her children to be saved, Lord, and I pray that you would convict each one of them. Look after and bless Brother Christie, Lord, at this time too, especially as he labours and collating data for this current illness, this virus that's going around, for Taylor Roth, Lord, and for her mom and dad, Terry and Lisa. Please save their souls. Remember too Eddie and Anne, Lord, and I pray your good hand upon them as well for their generosity, Lord, and their consideration for us. And I pray especially for their grandson, Mason, for wisdom for his mom and dad in helping him with his autism, Lord. We know that you can sort every problem out, Lord. I pray you, please, that you would put your good hand upon him. We're not forgetting Brother Norman, Lord. We know he has a bunch of problems at the moment with legal problems. And I pray you, Lord, for wisdom. And I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon Mark Withington and his family connections. I pray you, Lord, that your will would be done. And I pray you, Lord, for victory for Norman in this. Please bless and keep him and comfort him, Lord. And thank you for the chainsaw, Lord. Thank you for giving Norman the wisdom to get that sorted. Pray you too for Pat and Steve, Lord. And I know they have their own health problems. Please, Lord, I pray you just touch Brother Steve's leg and his body even now. And if it would be your will, Lord, that you would heal his heart, Lord, and heal his leg, and Lord, any other health issues that he might have. And if that's not your will for right now, Lord, I pray you grace, and I pray you, Lord, for just good vision for him, Lord, and keeping his eyes upon you. I know it can be difficult, Lord, whenever you're not the best, to keep your eyes upon you whenever you're thinking so much about the things that ail you. But please look after Brother Steve and Pat too, Lord, as she ministers to Steve and to the rest of her family. Look after them and save souls. Please be with Carol and John and Stephen. And watch over and keep them, Lord, I pray you this day. Please draw closer to you. And remember as well, Lord, those that have been and gone. There's Paul and Ethel and Chloe and Joshua and Rachel Lee. There's Alan and Rachel and Nathan and Jordan. There's Barbara, Lord. There's Ian and Donna. I pray you, Lord, for salvation in that household. There's Sylvia and Jonathan, Lord, too. Please be with them as well. And Tony and Caitlin as well, Lord. Please look after these dear souls. Did I mention Courtney, Megan and Alex and wee Mason? Lord, you know the needs of all the folks that we know, whether they need to be saved or living closer to you, and I just pray for them, please. We pray you, Lord, too, for those on our CD or Facebook ministry, Lord, that are not regular church members, but they are our church members at the moment. And I just pray you, please, Lord, for Norman especially, and I pray just put your hand upon his leg and heal it, Lord, so that you would be glorified. For his dad, Noel, and his mom, Joan, Lord, please put your good hand upon them. For Terence McLaughlin, Lord, for an opportunity to speak to him. For Carol, and for Harry and Marie, I pray your good hand upon them, and bless them, Lord, this day, I pray you. For Jane and Corey, for their other neighbours, Lord, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Henry and Evelyn, and especially, Lord, for their wee grandson, Isaac. Please help them through with that cystic fibrosis, Lord. We remember, too, Lord, at this time, Sammy and Kate and Sally, and we pray you for salvation and strength, Lord, and healing according to your will. And, Lord, we're not forgetting Alan Leslie. Please, Lord, would you watch over him and keep him. And, Lord, for Pearl Hetherington as well. Just thank you, Lord, for watching over all these folks. And we don't forget Maslam and Georgina and their kids in America. For my dad, John Bradfield, for Roger and Pat Hain. For anybody else, Lord, that gets an opportunity to click on a web link or through Facebook, just wherever, or even pick up an old CD. Father, I pray you, please, that you would speak directly to the hearts and minds. Pray for Monica and me. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would help us this morning as we work with a congregation of two, and sometimes one. But bless us and keep us, and Lord, we look forward to praising you and thanking you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, if there's one that we have forgotten in our list, you're only forgotten in this prayer now, but you're remembered in other prayers day in and day out. We love you. Thank you, Father. I pray that you would bless this time in your presence. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, and we're definitely not forgetting Rita's family, Lord, Elaine and Hilary. Please pray for these souls. Amen. Amen. Right. Let's take and sing hymn number 324. And just before we go any further, our Bible readings. Our Bible reading today will be from Romans chapter 5. That's the one that Brother Steve has asked me to read. Where did I get ring from? I'm looking at the phone. And we're going to be reading as part of our service in Mark chapter 9. So that's Romans chapter 5 and Mark chapter 9. There's only about 30 or 40 pages between the two. If you want to find those right now, you just go on ahead and do that. And don't forget, you can press the pause on the recording at any time, even on Facebook, I think, and definitely on the bbcib.com, and you can restart at any time. Please, Lord, I pray you bless our time together and find the service acceptable in your sight. 324. Thank you.
Right, now let's
close our hymn books for a minute or two and take our Bibles this morning and turn to that first of our Bible readings in Romans chapter 5. We're in Romans chapter 5. Thank you again, Steve, for supplying us with the reading. I will attempt to be a poor stunt double for Brother Steve. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. But the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Well, there are many excellent verses in that portion of God's word. I am sure number 1, verse 1, justified by faith, a great invitation, a great offer. And but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Also great verses. There's one more there that, verse number 9, "Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We appreciate the Bible reading. Thank you, Brother Steve. We shall look forward to getting a wee bit more into the Bible in just a moment or two. We now take this time to share any announcements that we might have. Just want to remind you of that gentleman that Ling and Frank and Dr. Chang are ministering to, I think it's Bao Xiong Wang. Sorry, and if I got that wrong the first time around, I was repeating it from memory instead of what I wrote down, so please forgive me. So it's Bao Xiong Wang. Please pray for that doctor. He's a Chinese doctor. He's over in the mainland in England. And Ling and Dr. Shang had opportunity to send him a Bible, a Chinese Bible, there just a few days ago. He's already received it. Just please pray for him, if you would. We also have another new name, well, new-ish name. Just pray for Eddie and Anne. That's neighbours of Esther's. They accepted our invitation to give them a CD with the church services on it, and they have a grandson, Mason, who is on the autistic spectrum. And I think his mom and dad are, it's a difficult job. So please do pray for his parents and those that are tending to him, that they would find out what works for him and they would be able to help him, if you would. Do continue to pray for Rita's family, that's Elaine and Hilary, as they wind up their mother's affairs. Lord willing, we might be getting a chance to speak to one of the daughters later on this morning or this afternoon. They spoke about calling round at the house. So please do pray for Elaine and Hilary, if you would. Don't forget to pray for each other. We mentioned just about everybody in our church building and in our church outreach, our regular service outreach. Please do continue to pray for them. Yes, Mrs. B. And don't forget to pray for the McMahon family as well. Yes. Everybody. Norman has legal concerns with family members that are being very, very obtuse and just downright wicked. Please do pray for the Withington family, that God would take this time to work in their hearts and minds, if you would. And I know we, each and every one of us, have needs at this time. Please do continue to pray for my health. I do believe it is improving. I would say maybe even go so far as to say I'm even up to about 65%. Sort of teeters a bit depending on what I eat in the day, so please do pray for that. And my wife, for continued patience. Do pray for the Gilbert family over in Grace Bible and Pastor Asquith as he ministers to them. They lost a wife and a mother and a grandmother there about 2 weeks ago. Please do pray for them. There's a lot going on in the world. We're commanded to pray for our world leaders, so do pray for them. Every country in the world has been affected by this current situation, but pray that the Lord's will be done and that leaders would not take this as an opportunity to gain a tighter grip upon their populace, but to rule their countries, the places that God has allowed them to be set in power, to rule them well. We're always commanded to pray for Israel, so please do pray for Israel and the well-being of the Jews. And pray for our own town, lost family members and neighbours and friends. And you know what the Bible said? Don't be taking any of these burdens upon yourself. Bring them all to God. And with prayers and pleading and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the Word of God promises that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind. So please do that. Pray about everything. I once heard of a saying of an army unit that was surrounded by enemies, and one of the troopers asked his commanding officer what they were going to do, where were we going to shoot, and the commanding officer said, "Just shoot, we're in a target-rich environment." So we've a lot to pray about. There is, of course, a lot to slow you down and throw a stick in your spokes. Please keep your eyes upon the Lord and be much in prayer. Right, let's just do that. Let's have another word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for for loving us, for watching over us, for giving your Son to be our Saviour, and Lord, for giving the Holy Spirit to be our companion and guide. Lord, would you please grant our prayer requests and petitions according to your will? Would you please grant our private prayer requests and petitions according to your will as well? Thank you for many answered prayers. We thank you, Lord, for a relaxing of rules. I pray, Lord, that you would suppress this virus in the population, and Lord, that we would be able to get back to business as usual as soon as possible. But we pray most of all that regardless, we would keep our eyes upon you, and we would attempt to live peaceably with all men. Bless us now, Lord, as we spend this time in your presence and in your word. And I just thank you for loving us, Lord. Please cleanse us and refresh us. Please edify us. Please chasten us, Lord. Please comfort us. Lord, please supply our needs this day. Pray for the words for the message. And I pray you, Lord, that you would just find this service acceptable in your sight. We love you and thank you, Father. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's take our hymn books again, and we'll sing 323 next. 323. More about Jesus. Amen. Before we get there, so we're putting our hymn books away for a little bit now, and we are taking our Bibles. I'm turning to Mark chapter 9. We're in Mark chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1. Pray you're having a good day, whether regardless of the day that it is. And I pray that the Lord bless that the time that you have set aside here will be a help to you and hopefully something to provoke a little bit of thought. Mark chapter 9. And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so that no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Amen. We're going to stop there. We're taking as our text verses 5 and 6 and 7. And I want to spend a little time on the subject of when there's just God. When there's just God. Pray again, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the freedom to meet with you. Lord, I pray for not just myself right now, but for all of those men that are standing and preaching out of the King James Bible, the full counsel of your word, and even other Bibles, Lord, that regardless of the intent of the heart or the Bible, in quotes, that they're reading from, that your will would be done, that souls would be convicted of sin and judgment to come and would come to the foot of the cross for salvation, and saints would be edified or chastened. Lord, just that you would provide what it is that every soul requires. I know we all need to be saved, but after that, Lord, you know what we need. Just pray, you Lord, for a few of people that I know that are going to be preaching and teaching. I pray for Brother Stan, Lord, that you would put your good hand upon him and his church up there in Bangor. For Karen and Mark and Jeremiah and Samuel and Faith. And very specially this day, Lord, upon Jade. Pray for Stuart and Hannah and Jennifer, and for Stuart and Iona, Lord. I pray that your will would be done up there in Bangor. Pray you too, Lord, for Brother Ed Bissett and Joan and his family as well, Lord, in the church in Temple Patrick, that you would watch over and keep them, Lord, and draw everybody just that little bit closer to you. Pray you for Julian Patterson, Lord. Pray you for Johnny Campbell. Pray you for Ian Brown and Jonathan Crane, and of course his sister as well, Lord. She's not a preacher, but I pray you for Sarah. And remember these souls, Lord, and the many other men that are prepared to stand up and be counted for you. Pray you too, Lord, for Raymond and Sammy and the folks in the Waterside Church, Lord, that you would help them as regards getting a new minister. And whoever stands up to bring the word in the meantime, bless and watch over them. Pray you too, Father, for Pastor Asquith and my father-in-law, Roger Hayne, Lord, as they minister to the folks in Black Creek. And look after the folks there too. For Tom Isaacson, Lord, and the people in Grace Bible. For Alan Fox, Lord, and the people in his church. For Jack Mormon, and Lord, his health and that of his wife in the church over there in London. We remember too at this time, Paul Forrest, Lord, many years as an evangelist, he's just not doing the best right now, and we pray that your will would be done there, Lord. For Francis Cosgrave, Lord, and the folks that he ministers to day by day, especially for his family right now, Lord, and his brother who's not very well at all, please, Lord, I pray you save souls, save lives too. Remember too, Father, and just a quick run through names, the Randalls, the Smiths, the Snowds, Lord, the Kennedys as well, Lord, all these souls, Lord, that stand up to bring your word. I pray you, Lord, that your word would lie heavy on us before it lies heavy on anybody else. Please, Lord, that's only a tiny fragment of the preaching and teaching that goes on every day. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would grab a hold of your men in these last of the last days, that you would constrain and inspire, that you would give portions of wisdom, Lord, chastening, comforting, strengthening. Lord, you know our needs. Please help us to, please supply our needs and help us to supply the needs of others. We love you and thank you, Lord, and pray that you would give us each one the words to speak in this time of ministering. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord. Amen. All right. Amen. Verses 5, 6, and 7 are our text from Mark chapter 9 this morning, where we'll read 4 as well. There appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Now, as we open Mark chapter 9, we see that the Lord is already dealing with his disciples and telling them about the future. Most specifically here, he's talking about John, the beloved disciple. Remember, only beloved because he loved God more, not that God loved him more. And I do believe that he was talking about the revelation that he gave to John, which John recorded, thankfully for us, about all the stuff that was going to happen, not in the far future, but in the very near future. And the Lord was always doing this because, regardless of whoever has stood up pretending to be God, there's only one God that can walk up and down through time, that knows what's going to happen, that made it happen, that can go from walking in the Garden of Eden to the very end of the world here as easily as we would go from one room to another in the house, and probably even easier. It's nothing to God to give us the future, but it shows us that he is a great God. He is a God to be believed in. But anyway, after 6 days after this, after the Lord has given them a little bit of prophecy, they go up into a mountain, and the Lord is transfigured. They call it the transfiguration. And I believe it was just a wee taste of the Lord's glory being shown to his 3 disciples, to these 3 disciples. The Word of God actually says his raiment became shining. In other words, it says as white as snow, so that no bleach, no cleaner on earth could clean it that white. He was literally shining with the glory of God. But just a tiny shaving, a tiny shard of the glory of God. Because remember what the Lord said to Moses whenever Moses asked to see his face? The Lord said, you can't look upon my face and live. It would be too much for you. And so he hid him in the cleft of a rock and covered him with his hand. Just like the words of the song say, So Jesus showed a little bit of himself. But not only that, all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appear. And do you know what? When dead people, people that we consider dead, start walking about and start talking to people, people start to get afraid. In fact, the Word of God records that they were sore afraid. Moses and Elijah were, I'm sure it was a little taste of heaven for the Lord, a little bit of company from heaven. Because I know people, I know myself, and I know that I have been hard work over the past 6 months trying to get my health back, trying to do things again, and I'm sure being a little bit obstinate, and some of you might be saying, that has nothing to do with you being ill, that's just you in general. But the Lord enjoyed the company of glorified people, of these glorified sinners, of these glorified prophets, Moses and Elijah, the lawgiver, and the one Elijah whom they said was going to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And if you were to read on a verse or two in this portion of God's word, you would see that John the Baptist was that one that came in the spirit of Elijah. The disciples were a bit afraid. And you know what? There was many times that people came face to face with an angel of the Lord, or indeed the Lord as he walked on the face of the earth. And they were sore afraid as well. They fell on their faces. In fact, there was even an instance in Daniel where whenever the angel came, was it Gabriel, came to speak to Daniel, Daniel fell flat on his face, and every little bit of strength and every little bit of Daniel that Daniel thought was good and helped him get going from day to day, it just felt like rottenness in his bones whenever he compared himself to the glory and the beauty and the purity and the holiness of God. And so they just start talking. Peter's just afraid, and as the brakes are let off, and he starts talking, he says, we'll make three tabernacles, three places of worship, of sacrifice. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's scared out of his wits. These are things. All the rules that they knew were superseded, were turned to nothing in the presence of God. The dead were walking and talking. The glory of God was present on the face of the earth, and they were terrified. And as if that wasn't enough, just to hammer the point home, there's a cloud comes down and it blots everything else out. And it's just them and the cloud and the voice of God. And all they hear is a voice that says, this is my beloved son. Make sure and listen to him. And then all of a sudden it's all gone, along with Moses and Elijah. And all it is Jesus, the man that they have known and followed for a year or two at this point in his ministry. And what he says to them is, don't be telling anybody about this until I'm risen from the dead. That would be a bit scary. I don't know about you, but I used to have awful nightmares as a child. And I would be terrified, even crying in my sleep, wondering what it was, that what monster was going to get me, or what was in the dreams that terrified me. But imagine those things for real. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever opened your eyes in bed at night and you've seen something ducking down the side of the bed, or you think you've seen a shadow in the doorway and it gets the heart pumping, and you're all of a sudden, the adrenaline's flowing and your eyes are wide open until your mind comes back to itself. But these guys were in the presence of not ghosts, but glorified souls. They were in the presence of a glorified Jesus. And then they were in the presence of God Almighty. They were sore afraid in the presence of God. And so they should be. Because bear in mind at this time that none of them were saved. None of them had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. None of them were written in the palm of God's hand. This was a This was an in-between time, a stepping stone time between an ongoing faith in God Almighty and the sealing and keeping of our souls by God Almighty being necessary for salvation. They were convicted of sin, of judgment to come, and at the moment, they didn't have a Savior. They were reminded of their eternity in hell in the lake of fire. There was no such thing as, like so many souls today, as they carry on and riot, and some of them are protesting, a lot more are rioting than protesting. They think that because they're in a group, they can do whatever they want, and the consequences will never come. Whenever you stand in the presence of God, that doesn't matter anymore. It's just you. There's no backup company to call whenever God's dealing with you. It's you and God. The cloud blotted everything out. And there will come a time, and I pray that the Lord has allowed this time of shutdown, this time of quarantine, to be quite literally a cloud that has blotted so many of our activities out that we actually do have time to consider where it is we stand with God. That we would be aware, maybe for the first time, of our own sin and the presence of a thrice holy God. Think again on the instances in the Bible when people were confronted with God. Do you remember when the Lord, just a page or two, a chapter or two on from here, was arrested? And they asked him, "Are you Jesus?" And he said, "I am." He uttered his name, and they all fell backwards. That's what the power, that's what even the merest flake of the power of God can do. Did he not even say at that particular time, "I have the power and the authority to call down 12 legions of angels"? And just one angel of the Lord was enough to kill 180,000 men of war in one night. He could quite literally have wiped the earth clean of all those that had abused him, insulted him, hit him, cursed at him, and all those that ever would break his father's laws. He could have sorted the problem out right there and then. He said, "I have the power to do it," but that is not what it's all about. I can almost imagine Peter and James and John comparing themselves to God, and that sin in them just retreating, wanting to run away screaming from the presence of God, and that making them so afraid. It is not something that comes upon us very, very often, and we would do well to pay attention to it. Because we might do okay whenever we compare ourselves to other people around and about us, but whenever we compare ourselves to God, we don't come in a distant second. We come in a very distant last. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all in danger of everlasting torment. And we all have the job of paying for our sins. And that is impossible without Christ. We all have to justify ourselves to a thrice holy God who sees everything the way it is with those eyes that are as a flame of fire, mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3 and mentioned in the descriptions of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And those eyes burn away all the nonsense and all the excuses that we would want to throw up for behaving the way we do. For all the times that we have broken God's laws, those things are made plain to us. And even for all the torment that we caused Jesus Christ, knowing it was us that caused it, and even the execution of Jesus Christ. For the times that we have rejected Christ as Savior, and indeed Christians, the times that we have rejected God's will in our lives and incurred the wrath and the chastening of our Heavenly Father. Do you know what? We ought to be sore afraid. And we have every reason to be. Yes, even us that are saved, even souls that are washed in the blood of Christ, Even souls whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who have repented of their sins and trusted in Christ as their Saviour, who have been placed in God's palm so that nothing can pluck us out, we ought to be afraid. But not paralysingly so, respectfully so. Just like in the army, whenever a commanding officer gives a subordinate an order and expects it to be carried out, we should be mindful of obeying God. We should gee ourselves up on the days that we don't feel like doing it. We should do our duty, not our feelings. Those days that we don't pray, and the days that we don't spend time in His Word, and the days we don't make a point of preparing our ways before our Saviour, and the days that we don't lift up Jesus Christ in our lives and instead make ourselves look good, and the souls that we have refused to tell about Jesus, goodness, we're accountable for those. We should be concerned about having to deal with God about the things that we have refused to do, even to the very giving, the tithes and the offerings that we have withheld. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. Because there comes a time whenever God is everything. And that tends to be in the middle of the night. Or maybe just before we go to bed. Or whenever sometimes God would put His finger upon us and waken us up. Because there's no TV program there. There's none of our friends are there. Even the person that might be lying beside us in the bed, they're in their own wee world. And whenever we have God's voice speaking to us, whether it's then or whether it's as we read the Bible or whenever we go before the Lord in prayer or when we sing some of those hymns and there's just a line or a couple of words that speak to us, or whether it's the circumstances, whether it's all of them, and those all come towards us and we do nothing, and we don't change, we ought to be afraid. We ought to be sore afraid. Christian, you have a duty. You have a job. And you might think it's not much of a job unless you're pulling down 60 or 70 or 80,000 or a quarter of a million or multi-millions every year. But you have a job that's so important that it was the job that God did whenever He was on this world, and that is seeking and saving that which is lost. It's preaching the gospel to every creature. I want for you to understand that the Word of God tells us that God is not mocked. That whatsoever a man shall sow, that will he also reap. And I'm reminded of that very sad fact in a very public event that kicked off just about a week or so ago with that gentleman, and he wasn't a gentleman, that man, George Floyd, that was killed by a police officer. After being restrained, the police officer put his knee on George Floyd's neck and he asphyxiated. I don't want you to think I'm saying he deserved to be killed. He didn't. Nobody deserves to be killed. But if he hadn't been a drug user, especially on the day, and if he hadn't had a life full of armed robbery, of breaking and entering, of burglary, of violence, if he hadn't spent maybe 8 or 9 years of the past 22 or 23 years in prison, he wouldn't have been under the knee of the policeman that took his life. I remember years ago saying to children whenever they come into the church, we love you here in church and we want the best for you. Not just because we love kids, but God has commanded us to teach children and to give them a good example, to show them in a safe environment that there are consequences for wrongdoing. So that any time children in the Sunday school were chastened verbally, or indeed the ones that we knew a little bit better with a wooden spoon, they knew it was because we loved them and we were fearful of them growing up not realizing that actions have consequences. And what I used to say was, look, kids, do what you're told. Understand that there are consequences. And learn that lesson here in church, because if you don't, and you go through life thinking that you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, to whomever you want, someday someone bigger, stronger, meaner and faster and will leave you lying in a gutter. Sorry about that. That's my sister. It's actually my fault for not switching the phone off. That is what is going to happen to you. And that's what happened to Floyd George. And I remember a young fella, John Starrs, used to come to the church. And he died there, what, a year ago, year and a half ago. He was just a wee fella. He was all boy. But he left the church and he got mixed up with paramilitaries and drugs. And he started to get to be a hard man. And the end of it all, he died as a young man. I remember meeting him in the hospital, handcuffed to a policeman. I said, John, is that you? And the policeman said to me, how do you know that fella? I said, he used to come to church. He used to be in my Sunday school. And you know what the policeman said to him? He said, John, you should have listened to him. When you reject Christ as Savior, he'll reject you as a citizen for heaven. And there's only one other place to go, and that's hell. And you should be scared. You think of the scariest horror movie that you have ever seen. You think of what it was like that night whenever you went to bed and you looked, peeped out from under the covers and you were afraid even to go and use the bathroom. Hell is going to be worse than that, and the thought of it is awful. Luke 16 gives you an example of a man that went there not because he was wicked, but because he rejected Christ as his Savior. Tormented in this flame day and night, only wanting a drop of water on his tongue. Regrets, pain, and loneliness forever and ever. Friends, whenever Jesus takes the time to speak to you and you reject him as your Lord, when you refuse to obey him, the Lord will chasten you. And not just you, but those that you have responsibility for in the eyes of God. That means your children. Maybe even your grandchildren. Your wife. Does anyone remember the time in Numbers? I can't recall right now. But there were three men, Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And they basically said, why should Moses be in charge? We want to be in charge. And Moses, I think he just about had enough of all the people's nonsense. He was doing his best to lead them through the wilderness and to preach God's will and to be a good example. But yet and all, there's always one, but in this case there's three. And he went to the Lord. And the Lord said, this is what you say. And Moses told them all to gather together and everybody else to stand away from them. And he said these words, if these men die the death of all men, then I am not the prophet of God. But if a new thing happens, if the earth opens up and swallows them and they go alive down into the pit, then I am the prophet of God. And he no sooner uttered the words until it actually happened. And Korah, Dathan, Abiram, their wives, their children, and all their belongings went down into the earth, and the earth closed up behind them. How do you think everybody else felt after that? I'm sure they were terrified, and rightly so, because there might have been a few of them there that wanted these men to be their leaders. Even Aaron and Miriam, whenever they rejected Moses and thought, you know, we're as good as. Leprosy got a hold of them and sorted them out, and they got their health back. But you don't mess with God. You ought to be very concerned about rejecting Christ as your Savior and Christian rejecting him as your Lord. I've heard people say whenever someone gives them a command, from your lips to my ears. When God tells you to jump, we should pray back, Lord, how high. That's the way it should be. And yet we think in these last of the last days that this is a special thing for pastors, for preachers, for missionaries, that this doesn't apply to the people in the congregation, friends. It applies to everybody. Every single soul was built atom by atom, DNA strand by DNA strand. Protein, muscle, blood, blood vessels, sinew and bone to worship and praise and fellowship with God. Each and every one of us. And whenever we don't, it never goes well. We ought to be afraid. Excuse me. It's not the coronavirus, it's just a bit cool in church. But I want for you to know, and I am thankful to know, that God is still the God of the second chance. And how many times have we gotten back with God and tried to instill new habits and good habits? And then, as time goes on and life gets better, we relax and slip back into our old habits again. Our lives require us to be constantly in the presence of God. Not just once and everything will go well, but constantly. And one of the greatest examples of that in the Bible was the man that came to Jesus blind. It's not too far away in Mark here. And Jesus spat on his eyes and gave him his sight back. And he said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees walking." And a lot of times that's us. We stop at seeing men as trees walking, when really what we need to do is get back to Jesus again and get him to touch us again. And he said, Jesus said to the man the second time, he says, "What do you see now?" He said, "I see men as men." And that's what we need. Even as he instills fear in the sinner, and I do mean the saved and the lost sinner, although sometimes you wouldn't think it the way the world's going right now, that fear is not the paralyzes. It's not the teeth-chattering, mind-numbing fear that you find from these movies and things like that. It's a fear that should cause us to stop and to think, where do I stand with God? Or should I say, where do I kneel in the presence of God? Is my soul saved? No. Well, now's the time to sort that out. The prayer that I prayed that saved my soul and meant it from my heart was, Lord, you know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And these people don't know a thing about me. The people in the church, would you please save me? And he did. And that's all that it took. And that has been working in my life for the last 32 years this year. And it will do until the day I die. And if your soul is saved, is my life the living sacrifice it should be? Romans chapter 12 encourages us, exhorts us to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Is it pleasing to God? And if not, now is the time to do something about that. Whether it's to ring a preacher and beg him to pray with you and get saved, or tell you what's right or wrong, even if it's over the phone or over a table, now is the time to repent of your sins, or to repent of your rebellion and get back to church, or even into church, to get back into that Bible, to get back down on your hands and knees and bang on the doorways of heaven and call upon the Lord. Just take him at his word. Obey his word and not live in fear anymore. Because whenever you're saved and whenever you're walking and talking with God, this promise is for you. That God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's for anybody. That's for whosoever will. Whenever it's you, just you and God, That is the best way to be. You meet him, you knew him as God before you knew him as Savior, but once you know him as Savior, make sure you know him as Lord. And as you get to know him as Lord, you will find out that he is the best friend that anybody could ever have. He loves you to pieces, and he wants the best life for you. And all it takes for you to say is no to self and yes to God. God bless you, folks. Thank you for your good time this morning. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and then we will pray and bid you good day. Our last hymn of the morning is, let me see, Nothing Between, hymn number 304. Nothing Between.
I still managed to trip over one of the pews. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Thank you for your good time and attention. We hope to be in touch very soon. Let's close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence and in your word, for the prayer requests, for the prayers and the petitions.
Lord, for the message. And I pray you, Father, please, that you be with each one of us. And let there be nothing between us and you. Not our feelings, not our rebellion, not even our sin. Please, Lord, cleanse us and refresh us this day. And please save lost souls. Watch us as we go our separate ways. Please protect us all at this time, Father. And please save the lives of those that are sick. And please minister to the families of those that have lost loved ones. Please be with our health service and those in charge. We ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. See you next week, folks. God bless you. Bye-bye.